Everybody ready to get started this afternoon? Okay, so I'm going to start by risking public humiliation. An engineer's worst nightmare, writing some code with, 120-odd people doing an instantaneous code review. So, basically I'm going to walk you through some of the things that I talked about this morning, actually building a just-in-time collection. So you can see if it works or not. So we'll start with Visual Studio 2010. And we want to begin with a new project. And we'll start with an ASP.NET web application because we want to make a server that responds to those three requests that I mentioned before. And we'll call this pivot server. And when you create a new ASP.NET web application, you get a whole bunch of stuff that makes it very nice to build a web page experience. You get nice things like master pages and an about page and all this stuff, none of which we need. So let's delete a lot of that. Although I want to keep a few of these things. I'll delete this, it'll get recreated later. No styles, no scripts. That can go. And then, all right, we'll strip it down to bare bones, and then that also means that I need to get rid of some of this stuff too. You know what? I'm not a Visual Basic developer. Oops. Let's try again. I don't think I even installed that one. Some people, it works great. I better call this pivot server 2. See, I failed you already. Sorry. Right. Well, we'll get rid of a bunch of this. All good things if you want to do Ajax development, but it's not what we're doing. I took out the master file, and let's just make sure it works and does something. It'll add a web config in for us, and it should be load and make something completely blank. Oh, no, I need to drop out all of this as well. So we'll keep this page because it'll be useful to reference our CXML file. And so I want to put an ahref equals, so we'll call it fileexplorer.cxml. So I should tell you what we're going to build exactly. This will be a just-in-time collection server, and in order that you can all build it and run it, I didn't want to have a database that you had to install the data beforehand, or even make a web request out, because you saw some of the problems that we had getting Twitter data. So something that you all have is a local hard drive with files on and folders on. So let's make a just-in-time collection server that navigates the local hard drive and presents that inside pivot. So let's try again. Does this run and show something? Yes, right. So to begin with, I want to make sure that I am debugging this inside IIS and not in the Visual Studio ASP.NET web server. So if I go in here and go into the web tab, I can say use my local IIS server, and then I need to create that virtual directory so that it's built. And so then if I run now, the URL should have that as its host, so you can see that. Okay, and so this thing will just do, we don't have any thing called fileexplorer.cxml at the moment. So let's add that. We'll stop the server and close this as well. So let's go into Solution Explorer and to our pivot server project. I want to add a new item that is a web and it's an ASP.NET handler. So we'll call this pivot handler. And actually, we're going to call it handlers because I'm going to put the three handlers that we need for CXML and DZZ and the image tiles all in one file. So we do this, and this gives us a single class that implements the HTTP handler interface and has this method to say, can the server reuse this class? Or, I mean, does it keep state data around? And we're not going to, so we're going to let it return true so it can reuse this method. And then actually do what you want to do and respond with something. And so we're going to copy this. This one is going to get called CXML handler. And then I'm going to copy the whole thing and make two copies of it. And that's the first one. This font is rather large on this screen, but hopefully you can see it perfectly adequately. And let's call this one image handler. So we have three handlers, but now they're sitting there. IIS doesn't know how to call them or when it should call them. So if we open our web config, and I will also open a file that lets me include some stuff. Okay, you might call it cheating, but that's okay. So, oh, I got the whole thing. So now what I've added is these three handlers, and this is actually called pivot server 2 CXML handler. So the first is the namespace and the handler, and then the second part is the name of this assembly. So we just copy that everywhere. So now I want to enable debugging, so it will add this into there. Well, now, I hope when I click this, it'll just give me an empty page. So the other way of showing it is that this handler got called for CXML. I should be able to put a breakpoint in here. And when I say go and click that link, it stops here. So we know that this context is coming in and requesting. We can find the in the request URL. Say, jumping all over the place. There, something like that. Okay, so yes, it's getting to the right place. So the next thing we want to do is, okay, this request is coming in for this CXML file. Let's actually respond with something. And what I'm going to do is add a new folder in here called helpers. Back over here in Visual Studio, I can say add existing items. And oh, is it going to be? Probably not that smart. Select all these things and add them. Did I get everything? I don't think so. So let's bring this in directly and add the image providers as well. These are different ways of pulling images, whether you want to pull them off the file system, off the web, or just build them on the fly. So now we have all this useful code. So in response to asking for a CXML, I'm going to say collection, and not that collection. Oh, these are all of a different namespace, so we're going to have to say using that. Make a new collection from File Explorer collection, and just make a collection, and we'll look at that code right now. So let's go into this method. So one of these classes that I've supplied says, I'm going to call this make a collection method and return an object called a collection. We'll look at that in a minute too. But basically what this does is says, if you haven't passed me a parameter, I'm going to use the root of your hard drive. And make a new collection object and set the name of this collection to be the folder. You'll see that appear in pivot. And then grab all the files in this current folder, and for all of them, get the file name, make a URL, get the extension. If it's an image, then we'll actually do something special and make it call the image one of these things. Otherwise, we'll just leave it null. And then add an item to your collection with those parameters and then these various facets. So we can add a the type. And this is file, and you'll see why we do this. We'll add another type for folder for the other things below. The extension, the file size, when it was created. And this is a number type, and so this facet class recognizes that this type is an integer, and so it will give you the right type of facet, and it recognizes this is a date time, so it gives you the right type of facet. And then a link to actually, if you want to click on the item to open it, this will do that. So those are all the files in the folder, and then for all the directories in this particular folder, we'll do almost exactly the same thing. We'll change the name and just put a period in slash in front so you can visually see the difference. And we'll make a URL here of this collection, and we'll specify a parameter on the end that is source equals, and we'll put we'll encode the folder path so that it can be put in a URL and include it there. So the intent of this is that if you click on the item or choose to open it, then you'll relaunch the collection but centered on that folder, not the current one. And so here we add an item to the collection with a name and URL, and I've left the description and the image empty. We add the facet type and call this folder, and then creation time for this particular folder. And then lastly, I'm going to set some display options. And so the parameters of this just say, for this particular facet called creation time, do you want to show it in the filter pane? Do you want to show it in the information pane? And should it be a text filter that you can filter things on? So here I said, creation time, I just want to show in the info pane. And then lastly, for the file size, I want to specify a custom format string so that shows with comma separators and it's in kilobytes. So our handler will call this, and then I want to use a class called CXML serializer, which you also have, and say serialize this. Actually, I think I need, let's pick one of these other options here. You can output the collection to XML in a string object, or you can send it to an output stream or a text writer or an XML writer, and I want to use the output context that the web server is providing. So context.response.output, and this should be a text writer, so that's the right one to use. And then we'll just specify our collection. And the other thing I need to do is set context.response.contentType to be text WEC XML. If I set it to text CXML, it would try to launch the Pivot desktop app automatically, and I just want to show it in the browser. So based on that, let's see what we get. If I click on this CXML link, here is some CXML that represents the root, the C folder of my file system. So you can see I have a hibernate file here. As item one, it's a file. This is the size. Various other files, recycle bin. So it looks like it's doing the right thing. Obviously, if we go and ask for a DZC, and you see there's no image base specified here on items, I haven't written that handler yet, so it should just be blank. But if I open this collection in Pivot, or this CXML, rather, I know what's happened there. I specified something that... So let's go in this place where I just need to blank this out to start with because we don't have that support yet. So does that, or maybe not. One of the tricky things about debugging Pivot is that these strings go off the end, but let's keep going and see what's happening. So the next part is to stop this and bring back this. So we actually saw the CXML and it came up in Internet Explorer, and did I get everything right? Well, we'll move on. and keep going. So now I want to implement the DZC handler, the Deep Zoom Collection handler. So I'm going to copy all of this code here and put it down into my set, into my pivot handler. This is the CXML handler. And so what I'm going to do now is something slightly different. You saw that in those links, it could specify a source query parameter to be able to navigate into deeper folders. So I want to actually pull that out of the request and make a collection based on that. And then, because I know that the request for the DZC is coming up, I want to create a GUID, which is the where I'm going to put this object inside my cache, what I'm going to call it. And I'm just going to tack a .dzc on the end so it looks like a file. So then I can set the image base name to be that value. And then I'm going to store it in the web server's cache as well. And the previous part should be the same. So if I just run that, that should bring up the CXML. But I should also be able to specify, let's scroll down to the bottom, where there's a href that represents a folder. If I copy this, we'll see if it works because this bit isn't HTML encoded. But if I go into the users folder, now you can see that we have a file called desktop.ini and all users and various users who have used this machine. So at least that part of it appears to be working correctly. But in pivot, now we get blank entries, so I think it just needed that source parameter. There's no visuals, there's just a CXML, no DZC file, but you can see in the info pane it's filling in these things, and if we go all the way out, you can do things like see which ones are files and which ones are folders, or see what the file size is, or even, I hope, if one of these is folders looks promising, we can double-click on that, and it'll navigate into that folder. So we've got the basics, but no imagery yet. So let's get some imagery in there. So for the Deep Zoom handler, which is right here, let's see. Go back to Notepad. I am going to add this code. So what we're going to do here is get our cache key out of the URL. And we know that the it's just the DZC file name. And so we're just going to pull that out of the URL segments as the last one, grab our collection from the cache, and then serialize that as into a DZC file. So if we break on here and load it and pivot. So we see that it hit the breakpoint here, and so I'm gonna look. So pivot just gives me blank images, but if we look in the if we just refresh this value, we can see we now have in the items an image base value, which is a deep DZC file. So if I go grab this and copy it and then replace the CXML file with this, then that's what actually got returned. So doesn't help us too much yet. We have the metadata about the images, but none of the images are there yet. So that's the next step. So lastly, let's go into take a step backwards. There's some code that gets called. We look through the in the CXML handler. We look through the code that made the file explorer collection. Now let's go look at this CXML serializer that serializes it. So this is just use the text writer, make an XML writer out of it, and call the serialize function, which then just makes one of these new objects and says write it. And this is really fairly straightforward. There are just some helper methods there, some definitions of the XML namespaces that Pivot needs, and then several functions that actually loop through and make up the CXML tree using the link to XML streaming element class. So it's fairly straightforward in that we make a new element for the collection, and then everything under this, the attributes and the elements, we're going to call make collection content. And the way these things work are that you can return an array of values or even enumerable. So we're just going to use the yield enumerator functionality to return what our namespace is, return the pivot namespace as UI, the schema version value. If you've set a name, return the name. If you set an icon URL, return that. Culture is a new thing for the Silverlight pivot viewer. In case you want to change the sort orders, you can specify a culture value in your collection, and so on and so on. And the other part of this is the deep zoom serializer, DZC serializer. So it follows very much the same pattern. It has some, you can change the maximum level and the tile dimension if you want to choose a value other than the defaults. Remember that the tile pixel dimension needs to be a factor of 2, so 256 or 512 are probably the best options. And then this does much the same thing in terms of writing out values in terms of the DZC collection element here, and sets all those options and then loops through the items and adds the I element with all these attributes that are needed and a size value. But anyway, so you've got all that code on your USB key. So lastly, the probably most complicated part is we're going to add some code to write out images. And so I'm going to grab this chunk and then walk through it step by step. And I hope I get the right part. So and there are various things that I need to reference. Just a note on these handlers. Obviously, this path here means that any request for any CXML file will come to our handler. And at the moment, we've called it File Explorer, but I could... Oh, hold on. I can't do that just yet. But if you wanted to serve other collections from the same server, you could either add different handlers and specify them explicitly here, so you'd have several CXML handlers, or in this one handler, you could read the value out of the URL and then choose to do something. An approach is to maybe read out the value and then call a factory method that knows which type of collection to build based on the type of the name of the CXML value that you're sending. So back down in the image handler. So this needs to, if you recall, the parameters that we send in are going to have a image collection name based on the DZC file name, underscore files, a slash, the number that represents the level of image that's being requested, and then x underscore y dot JPEG. And so this image request class just wraps that up nicely in terms of having a regular expression that matches those parameters and pulls them out into these various properties on this class. So this will do that for us. Again, we need to pull out the collection object from the cache because we need to be able to actually loop through and figure out which images to place within this image tile. Some of the math here gets a bit complicated, but think of at level 0, or rather the maximum level. So if the default maximum level is 8, if we're requesting a tile of level 8, we just want one image per tile. If we go up a level, then we want 2. Another level, we want 4. Another level, we want 8. So this basically just does 2 to the power of that value. So that's how many images that we have along the side of a tile. And then we calculate how wide each image is, each sub-image is on the tile, the number of bits within the level, because when we, if you remember, when we did the bit interleaving to convert an XY coordinate into a Morton value, we only have to go as far as you have bits in each value. So this particular class does that for us. And again, if we go to the definition, this does the important part is here, and this just does as many bits as we have, make a bit mask, and then go down from those bits in the Y value and the X value, masking them out, and if they're not zero, then we'll say we have a Y and an X, and this does the interleave, so it's Y shifted to the left one position, ORed with the is X value, and then we shift that up two bits and keep ORing into it, and ORing into it, and ORing into it to create the Morton value. We create a new bitmap, which is our tile bitmap, and we just want this to be 256 by 256. It's disposable, so we'll make sure we use using to throw it away afterwards. For this simple demo, we'll create a font on the fly that we're going to draw text into the item. And because the images, they're different resolutions at different levels, we're going to actually change the font size based on the level that we're at. Create a graphics object so that we can actually draw into this bitmap, make that font. Again, both these things are disposable, so we're going to use using so they don't hog all our server resources when they go out of scope. Make a rectangle for the entire tile, and then we're just going to fill the background with this beautiful lemon color. And then iterate and along within that entire tile, go up the Y step and along the X step, and for each position, we're going to figure out which Morton value, which item index we need to draw in that place. And if that index is less than the number of items, I mean, because remember, only one of the tiles, the last one, gets partially filled. We don't want to crash if we run out of items. Get that item out of the cached value, figure out where its individual rectangle is, and draw that thing into that that tile bitmap. And lastly, just save that bitmap to the output stream. And I need to add a using statement for this. So let's see what this does, whether it actually does what we expect. So running it here, here is the DZC file, and we'll grab that and drop that in here. And hopefully, if we say underscore files, let's pick a level that we can actually see something. It's not so small. There's something there. Let's try something different now. I am going to go back, stop this, and you might remember, well, handily, there's this piece of code here. So instead of drawing a string on the item, I want to call this, each item here has an image provider specified, and each of those has a draw method. And back in these File Explorer collection, you might remember I commented this out. So what this is going to do is say, if it's a JPEG or it's a PNG, set the image to be this item image that has a path. And if we go to the definition of that, this is just really a helper class that holds some of these things. But I can look at the references and who uses this image file path. And there's a class called collection item that has the set image value. And it just looks through and says, based on what type of property you have, choose one of these things. So I can actually go into file image, and this has, oh, I factored it nicely. So most of the code is actually in the base class. But this has a couple of methods that says, get the size of that image, and then also draw it. And so this has an internal image, and if we look at the overloaded method that we had in file image, what it does says, I'm going to use this file path and I'm going to return an image from that file. And so then this guy will say, make that image and scale it and then keep the copy of the bits around so that when it actually wants to draw it up here, it can use those bits, make an image, and then render it out. All of which means, I hope, that when we actually run it and load it in Pivot, that, ooh, we now get a pretty background, the same one that you saw before. Let's go up a level, or quite a few levels. I have in users, well, something didn't like it. Maybe I have a partially cached value. Let's just stop this and this. All of this goes to show it's not as easy as it seems. Cut me some slack. We go into users and public, and then pictures. There's a sample pictures folder, and usually in Windows, you have a bunch of sample pictures. So here they are. That used that item, that file image class to draw these images. So basically, there we have a just-in-time collection server. Lastly, I wanted to show you using Fiddler. So because it's very handy for debugging these things. So if I start it up, and as I mentioned previously, if you just use localhost, you're not going to see any change here. So let's switch this to make sure I got -ISV main. And now you can see in Fiddler, the requests came through. So if we open up, widen up this. Here was a request for our CXML file. So we can go and look at the inspectors over here and click XML down here, or maybe raw. Ah, IIS on this particular machine has been set up to do compression. So it actually compressed everything, but we just click that value and it uncompresses it. So here's the XML that Fiddler kind of peeked at the network traffic and pulled it out. And rather than have to open IE and go into the items image base tag, we can just go and look at the DCC here. And then let's look at the various files and the order that it requested it. So you'll notice that one of these is image view. So that was our first tile. You can see tiny text on there, maybe. I mean, remember that level one, and they're just 2 pixels by 2 pixels for the entire thing. And then as we go further down and further down and further down, these are the order that Pivot requested those images. So it gave us something not very intelligible at the top and then requested these multiple items. Now you can see here that there's a 6, x0, y0, 6, 10, x1, y0, and there's 7 in between. The DeepZoom technology and Silverlight actually makes multiple requests at once, and it can use whichever thing comes back first as the thing it's going to draw images with if it's a better resolution. So here, we got a level 7 before this level 6 tile came back. And so that's an optimization that it can use. And then all the way down to level 7. Now, you'll remember that I said level 8 for my collection, and that shouldn't get requested until I click there to go all the way in. And now you'll see we get those level 8 full resolution tiles as well, all the way down. And then similarly, if we dig way back into that public folder, pictures, sample pictures, those images will come back, and somewhere hiding down the bottom of here are those image files in the level 8 tile and in the level 7 tiles as well. So if things aren't working or if your images are appearing in the wrong order, Fiddler is a great tool to go dig through and actually see what was being requested and when. I've shown everything here using the Pivot desktop client. You can do exactly the same thing with the Silverlight Pivot Viewer control running inside a Silverlight application. I'm not going to show that right now because Andrew and Ralph are going to do a demo of how that works later on. But that's the basics of how you make a just-in-time collection. And all that code that I just wrote, I mean, again, is on your USB key. So take it, try it out, modify it to your own needs, and that can form the basis of your own just-in-time collection server. The question is, if I have an unlimited data set, obviously I can't load all of those things and show them in a particular collection view, so what bound should I place on that? I mean, we go back to that 5,000 recommended number, but it also depends what's the performance of making those database requests. When I showed that SQL Server example this morning, I capped it at the top 150 results, just to give you a slice of that entire set. And then by putting links within those items, if you double-click on an item, it can kind of recenter the entire unbounded collection on that new item. So that sort of gives you a way to look at small or smaller slices of the greater set. Because, yes, there are still sort of limits of the 5,000, perhaps 10,000 in various cases, of what the pivot client and the pivot viewer control can show at once. So the question is, in this example, I showed a gradient background that was green to white, and that's just what I chose to write in code. Is it possible to specify something else outside that? Yes. You can put any image on the background of those items that you want to, and one way of doing that, perhaps, is you could put a parameter in the URL. Like I had a source for the folder name, you could also put question mark background and then perhaps a URL to an image. And so then when the code gets a request for an image, it could use that parameter to actually render that as the background. Again, if you wanted to do it based on a facet value, you could choose to do that as well. It's as Andrew showed in his slides at the moment, C# has the most effort, but writing code gives you the most flexibility as well. So let me clarify. The HTML shown, did you mean in the pauthor tool where you could specify a template to say what your images look like? And would that be possible with a just-in-time collection as well? Theoretically, yes, but I would recommend against it just because of the vagaries of knowing or the time for a browser control to create an HTML representation and draw it is much longer than it would take to draw an image on the fly. So it depends how long you're willing to wait or what the memory requirements of your server perhaps are. You know, if you're hosting multiple instances or even a single instance to be able to do that, it can add up. Although I will point out that in Live Labs, members of the Sea Dragon team have written an Azure service that will allow you to go kind of scrape an HTML page and generate a deep zoom image for it. So that type of technology could be used to do this, but it's probably something that you want to do, not expect the result to come back quickly. So if somebody's requested it beforehand and you have a cached value, then return that. If it's not there, then fall back to some default image. So the question was, is there going to be support for trees or hierarchical interfaces so that, for example, when you're viewing a directory structure, that you can navigate that in a way that makes more sense. So the talk at lunch sort of mentioned that we're looking at different views and which ones to select. One of those might be appropriate to those type of things. Although you could take that approach and do it right now. What I showed in terms of browsing a directory was that I just looked at a single folder level. One of the advantages of Pivot is that you can look at many, many things at once and use the filter faceted experience to sort of break things down. So if I wanted to spend my server to spend the time, I could have read through, say, one or two directory levels deep and handed back all that content at once. And it's sort of given a filter that says, how many depths do you want to show at once? So that could kind of give that hierarchical or tree-based visualization in the current views that we have right now.